Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see everybody this morning. Glad that you're here. Let me share a few announcements. First of all, on behalf of Josh and Bethany and Oki and myself, we thank the church very much for your gift of appreciation last Sunday. Minister Appreciation Month was October, and we thank you very much for your generous gift. And it is indeed a pleasure to continue to serve you as a church here at Perkinston. Operation Christmas Child donations are moving right along. I think we're in good shape on that. Packing night is set for Wednesday, November 18th. That would be about a week from Wednesday, I do believe. And so that'll be a big night. If you can arrange in your schedule to be here that night, 6 o'clock, it'll be a blessing for you because we have put together those 60 boxes. A lot of preliminary work will be done seemingly by Sambo and Penny and Josh and Bethany do a lot of preliminary work on that. But then the children
and all the shoppers.
Yeah. We found flashlights, by the way, this week. Did some looking around. Flashlights were a rare commodity since the power outage, but we got them. We got them for the boxes, so praise the Lord for that. Have deacons meeting, deacons tonight at 5 o'clock. Don't forget that. Looks like WMU is going to meet Wednesday at 10 in the morning, and then a day to remember, Sunday, November 22nd. That's, again, what, 2 weeks from today, our annual Thanksgiving meal at the home of Sambo and Penny Alexander. You won't want to miss that. Everyone is invited. Any other announcements? Okay. Let me move on ahead then to our prayer needs, prayer requests. Do continue to pray for Brother Clark. He's with us this morning. Pray for him for strength and recovery from the treatments that he's been having. Pray for Bill and Louise Barrett. They're doing much better, but continue to pray for them. Pray for Corky Palmer. Penny Williams, good report on her. I understand the tumor was not malignant, but treatment is continuing. Tim Williams, Earl's brother-in-law, I understand is doing better, so we praise the Lord for that good report. Excuse me. And Bobby Barnes, pray for her. Oki spoke with her yesterday, and she is very down. They have not gotten her up to walk at all, and she doesn't understand that, of course, and we don't either. But you know, she had fallen and broke a hip and is supposedly in therapy, a rehabilitation facility, but not a whole lot going on. And so pray for Bobby and her daughter. I'm not too sure just what is going on there, but she is down. And you might want to give her a call and talk to her. She would appreciate that, I am sure. Also, last Wednesday night, I understand Oliver has added Sharon Rester. And that's some relative of yours?
No, sir.
No.
Oh, that's a friend of mine's mother.
Friend of yours' mother-in-law.
Yes.
Pray for Sharon Rester. Add her to the prayer list if we may. And then the printed prayer list you have available back there. Any others? Yeah. Where are they at present?
They're rented an Airbnb in Houston.
In Houston.
And that's where they're supposed to fly out of.
Okay. Waiting on the paperwork. Okay. For those of you listening, Louise Brown shares that they have a new grandchild in New York, born this week?
No, October 19th.
October 19th already. And so praise the Lord for that. And ask prayer for The other part of their family, as they prepare to go back overseas and are waiting on the proper paperwork. Right now, they're stuck in limbo in Houston, and that's not a good place to be. Remember how that is. All that paperwork to go back to a foreign country sometimes gets real sticky, and especially now with the coronavirus, it really is. And they've got a handful of children, or two hands full of children, four hands full of children to take care of. On top of all of that, all right? Unspoken requests, let us pray.
Our country.
Yeah, we're going to get to that in just a little bit for sure. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for answered prayers. We thank you for good reports on many fronts. And Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the healer and the miracle worker. You always hear our prayers, and many times you answer them according to our desire. We lift these up to you this morning once again because of that. Intercede on their behalf. And God, we just thank you that you are God and that you are our Lord. We trust in you totally, completely. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's see. I think right now Landon's going to come. Turn things over to him for a little bit before the choir sings. Landon, you come on, and I'm going to go have a seat, and you direct us from here, will you?
When the pilgrims first came to the Atlantic shores, it was with a sense of divine purpose. With the years since, our country has been led by Scripture, our faith has strengthened us, and prayer has been our greatest resource. Our freedom, having been protected by the hand of God, has been secured by the men and women who have fought the fight, who have dug the trenches, stormed the beaches, flown the missions, and nursed the wounded. All so we can enjoy the freedoms we hold dear, like being here this morning to worship. Every generation must be reminded of the sacrifices made by the men and women of the armed services. We ask God to be our guide as we push forward to preserve our great nation. And we thank you, the veterans, and those serving all around the world. We especially want to remember our veterans that could not be with us today. Elwood Taylor served in the Army, and Bill Barrett, who went through basic training in the Navy, then was discharged because he misrepresented his age, then went on to serve in the U.S. Air Force. Will veterans and current members of the armed services please stand? Thank you. We honor you today and dedicate the song the choir will sing to you, America the Beautiful.
Oh,
Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we come this morning to worship you because you are worthy. You are our God and our Lord. We thank you for your many blessings. We pray for your guidance. We pray for our country. We pray for your guidance in our country, for our national leaders. Heavenly Father, we pray for forgiveness where we as a nation have failed you. We pray, Heavenly Father, that our leaders would listen to you in the future days and years ahead. And dear God, whatever lies before us, give us the strength and the ability and the faith to simply trust in you in all things. Again, we come to worship you, give to you our time now. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we approach you in worship and prayer. Amen. Brother John.
All right, first hymn 718, Day by Day. Day by day. Passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here, trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day, the Lord Himself is near me, with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares, He fain would bear and cheer me, He whose name His counselor and power. The protection of His child and treasure is a charge that on Himself He laid. As your days, your strength shall be in measure, this the pledge to me He made. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust your promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith's sweet consolation offered me within your holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble leave me, e'er to take as from a father's hand. By one, the days and moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land. All right. Hymn 104. 104, O Worship the King. 104, O Worship the King, all glorious above, gratefully sing His wonderful name. Sing His wonderful love.
Thank you, John. I know that is the prayer of all of us. Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 18. Psalm 18. We're going to get finished with Psalm 18 one day. Psalm 18, 30 through 36. The text this morning message is that I have entitled The Great Enabler. The Great Enabler. Psalm 18, 30 through 36. We have endured an important election this week. I have vowed to leave politics alone this morning. You do need to know I prepared this message before all of that took place, but it's amazing how timely and how fitting it is once again. The Psalms just keep doing their thing, keeps addressing where we are. The great enabler. I think you could guess where we're going with this message. Our God is the great enabler, and we are in need of being enabled. This is somewhat a personal message for me, and I did enjoy getting into it When we were in Venezuela working with the tribal people, our task, Oki and I, our task was to search out believers in some of the tribes in way back in the jungle, to find people of their nationality that were already Christians and enable them to go to their people and evangelize them, tell them about Jesus and about salvation in their own language and in their own cultural setting, something that was totally impossible for us to do. Even if we learned their language, we do not understand their culture, their background, where they were coming from. Only they themselves knew that. And one of the things that our mission board, our international mission board that we support here in this church, one of their big things was and continues to be enable the people in the nations to share the gospel with their people in an understanding way across language and cultural barriers. And God desires to do that. That's what He does. He is the great enabler. And this psalm speaks to that, or this section of the psalm. Follow in your Bibles, if you will, Psalm 18, beginning in verse 30. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in Him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables, there's that word, He enables me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You give me your shield of victory, and your right hand sustains me. You stoop down to make me great. You broaden the path beneath me so that my ankles do not turn. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, I commit this message to you. Help me to say what you want me to say. By your Holy Spirit, teach us the truths of this text and how to apply them in our lives, in our day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'm going to be referring to and reading a lot of other scriptures besides this text and Psalm. I don't know whether you want to try to keep up with me on those or not, or just mark down a note, but it's going to be one of those messages very much of a back and forth. And I'll tell you right now, a lot of it will come out of Ephesians chapter 6. As you remember, Ephesians chapter 6 gives us the armor of God. And that's very much speaks to the enablement of the great enabler for us and to us. And I'll tell you on the onset, at the close of the message, we're going to go to Ephesians 6, and we're going to read that text that tells us about the armor of God. So you may just want to leave that alone instead of going back and forth. I've got it marked, and I'm going to be going back and forth a good bit to that. But as was the case with David, God has a purpose and a plan for every one of us, every citizen of His kingdom, the kingdom of God. God has a plan for you. He has a plan for me. He has a plan for our country, for every nation in the world. His plan takes us face to face with many difficult challenges. It is just that way. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 clearly tells us that these challenges constitute a spiritual warfare. Let me share that verse with you. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We first of all need to understand that. We're not doing battle with flesh and blood. Our enemy is not people, human beings, but it is the power of darkness, spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. And all that comes from the great deceiver, Satan himself. who has a multitude of angels called demons that are doing his work and are convincing people to do his bidding. And our battle, our challenges constitute a spiritual warfare against those forces. And throughout the Bible, this spiritual battle is clearly seen from Adam and Eve, where the serpent tempted Eve, then Adam, and they fell into sin to the very last day. Read it, study it cover to cover. It is a story of this spiritual warfare that has taken place, is taking place, and will continue to do so until the last day. In order to be victorious, we are enabled by the great enabler. I read there that word in verse 33. He enables me to stand on the heights. He enables us. Therefore, it's possible for us to be victorious. God's plan, another thing to remember is that God's plan has always been to show his glory and his power through his people. Yes, he shows his glory and his power through creation and the forces of nature, but primarily he shows his glory and his power through people like you and I, through his people, the people of God. He called Abraham out, all of the children of Israel throughout the Old Testament. His desire was to show his glory and power through them. There were times when they were faithful. There were times when they were not faithful. They were blessed when they were faithful, and they were punished when they were not faithful. And that continues to be true, continues to be the case today. His people are not left alone. He enables them. This is a very personal matter for all of us. This is where the rubber meets the road for us as Christians. His desire is to show his power and his glory through us. However, we have an enemy. We have the forces of evil working against us. And our struggle and our battle is not with people, with flesh and blood, but against those forces of evil. Praise God, the great enabler is willing and does enable us, equip us, if you will. Maybe a better, more common word than enable us. Equips us to do this battle. In order to understand how this enablement takes place, we must understand our awesome God. We sing a song, a chorus, I guess it is. Our God is an awesome God, a God of power and might and God of power and grace. We don't realize many times we take it for granted the awesomeness of our God. He is an awesome God. He is a great and a powerful God. Verse 30 and 31, the first two verses of this text, speak to that truth. He has a predetermined plan for the movement of history. Verse 30 tells us, as for God, his way is perfect. He has a perfect plan for the movement of history. He has a perfect plan for the life of every individual, each one of us. This is beyond our understanding and is beyond our prediction. We cannot begin to predict what the next movement of his plan in history will be. We can only recognize it when it happens and then join him wherever that is in history as we are a part of it. But it is a perfect plan. It is without error. It's not according to our reason. Not according to our way of thinking. In fact, many times it's totally against our reasoning and against our way of thinking. We say, God, this isn't the way we do it at all. But then God doesn't think like we do. God has a totally different approach to everything than do we as humans. He occasionally even allows ungodly to accomplish his plan. Look at the nation of Israel. And we see in the prophets of the Old Testament, many of their messages were, God, I don't understand why you are using these ungodly pagan nations to defeat your people. But all of that was according to God's plan. He allowed that to take place to bring his people back into order where they ought to be. It was very cruel how some of those nations came in and captured God's people, took them literally with flesh hooks. A mother this way, a father that way, a children another way, all separated, never to be reunited again. But then in the end, God showed his power and his glory years later by bringing them all back together again according to his plan. And when they came repentant of their shortcomings and of their sins. It was all part of God's perfect plan for history. Our God has revealed to us a flawless word, verse 30 goes on to say, the word of the Lord is flawless. This flawless word, that is the Bible which we hold in our hands this morning, this flawless, inerrant, without error, flawless word reveals to us his perfect way for us to live our lives and conduct ourselves. We can learn from here. We must follow it. We must follow the instructions of his flawless word. Read it, study it, live it. The more we do, the more we understand about who God is, and the more we are strengthened in our faith and our trust to him. The last part of verse 30, look at that. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him. Here that tells us that when we are overcome, when we are exasperated, when we are ready to throw up our hands or hang our hands and our head down in exasperation by the challenges we face, we can go to God for relief. He is our shield. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him. Here once again I go to Ephesians chapter 16, chapter 6 and verse 16. In addition to all this, that verse says, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. The shield of faith can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Those forces of evil that fight against us. The shield of faith is able to extinguish them all. That is the shield that is being spoken of here in Psalm 18 and verse 30. He is that shield. He is a refuge. Our faith and our trust in him. So as we find ourselves at times totally in despair, in exasperation, simply turn to the shield that he provides for us, the shield of faith, and put our faith and our trust in him. God is in control. We can trust him because of who he is. Look at verse 31 now. The very next verse, it talks about our awesome God. For who is God besides the Lord? Two words used in that verse. Our God is Lord, or we might say our Lord is God. God refers to Almighty God, the creator and controller of all things. God Almighty. Lord refers to a ruler. Kings are installed. Kings are removed. Presidents are installed. Presidents are removed. They are rulers. They are the ones that are in control to a degree of a nation. Our God is not only God Almighty, but he is Lord. He is the ruler of all things. God Almighty is ruler, or the ruler is God Almighty. We can switch that either way. The one who is in charge, the ruler, is God. And God is the ruler. Let's never forget that. Never forget that. Of all the universe, of all creation, and especially of this planet Earth, and of all the nations upon it. Continuing in verse 31, we see, it said, and who is the rock except our God? Based on the truth that God is the ruler, our God is the rock. He is a solid rock. He is stable. Everything may change, but He remains the same. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is unmovable. He is stable. He is solid. We can put our faith and our trust in Him. Nothing else, everyone else, and everything else will disappoint us, but not our God and our Lord. So, being who He is, our God is the great enabler. And remembering that God's plan is to show His glory and plan through His people, that's us. We, His people, are enabled by Him to accomplish this task. Verse 32 and 33 speak to this enablement. Verse 32 begins, it is God who arms me with strength. It's amazing to me as I read this how the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 6, it is as if he is expounding on what is written in the psalm. And he may very well have been, but remember the Holy Spirit of God is inspiring him to write what he writes. Remember that Apostle Paul was a Pharisee. He says of himself, I am a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and the Pharisees were trained in the Old Testament. They knew the Old Testament from start to finish. All the laws, all the Psalms, all the prophets. So he would have been very much aware of this psalm and these verses in this psalm as the Holy Spirit inspired him to pen, to write Ephesians chapter 6. The armor of God. He arms us with strength, this psalm says in the first part of verse 32. And then we go to Ephesians 6, verse 10 and 11. Listen what it says. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you may take your stand against the devil's scheme. Put on what? The full armor of God. What does the psalmist David say right here? It is God who arms me with strength. And He has given us that strength through the armor of God. It is God's armor that enables us. Moving on in verse 32, He makes our way perfect, it says. He makes our way perfect. Remember last week, I read a passage of Scripture out of Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. And I want to read verse 2 again because it speaks to this perfect way. It says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. How do we experience that? By not conforming to the way of the world, but being transformed by the renewing of our mind. And say more about that in a moment as well. Then we will experience God's perfect way. Psalm 18:32 uses those very words. He makes my way perfect. Our enabler God makes our way perfect if we will follow His instructions of Romans 12 and verse 2. Verse 33 goes on to tell us that He gives us strength and energy as the feet of a deer. He makes my feet like the deer, like the feet of a deer. He enables me to stand on the heights. Here again, go to the armor of God, Ephesians 6. We read verse 11. It says, put on the full armor of God so that you can stand. And then it goes on, verse 13 and 14, tells us, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the evil day comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then. Three times the word stand is used here. And in Psalm 18 and verse 33, that word is used once again. He enables me to stand, not only to stand, but to stand on the heights with the energy and the leaping power of a deer. A deer can clear a pretty high fence, flat-footed. Quite a lot of energy. So it is our Lord enables us with strength and energy so that we can stand firm and victorious. Verse 34 of Psalm 18 goes on and speaks, tells us that He trains us for battle. Look at that verse. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. Bronze is the most powerful, strongest thing in David's day. David is saying, my hands are trained for battle with such strength that I could bend a bow of bronze. Whether there were any bows of bronze in his day, I don't know. But that's the strongest bow that he could imagine. And what he is saying is that his enabler, his God, trains his hands for battle to that degree. And remember Romans 12:2, what we just read there. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Training us, testing us to approve. His word trains us by the renewing, the regeneration of our mind, changing from a carnal human mind to a pure divine thinking as God thinks, as Christ would have us to think and to do. He trains us for battle to the point that we are strong and powerful, even to the point of being able to pull back a bow of bronze or the most powerful thing that we can think of. Look then at the first part of verse 35. It just goes on and on, talking about his enablement. He trains my hand for battle. Excuse me, verse 35. You give me your shield of faith. Again, Ephesians 6:16, the shield of faith, which we have to extinguish the flaming arrows. We looked at that verse just a little bit ago. He gives us His shield of victory. We experience victory. Faith is a victory, is it not? And faith is a shield. Continuing in verse 35, and your right hand sustains me. He says the right hand is a place of honor. Our Savior, as He was risen from the dead, ascended into heaven, and is placed at the right hand of God Almighty. We are sustained by the right hand of God. We're at an honorable place, a special place in God's presence, at His right hand. And He goes on to say in the last part of verse 35, and you stoop down to make me great. We are great. You are great. You are somebody because God has stooped down to our level, to your level, by sending His Son Jesus Christ to this earth to become human like you, like me. He stooped down. The word stoop down is literally the word condescend. God condescended Himself to human form. Why? In order to make me great. I'm a nobody. We're all a nobody without God. But with God, we are a somebody. We're a child of God. We're a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Our vision is ultimate victory over this battle that we struggle with, that we fight against evil forces of evil. Victory is in Jesus because he has stooped down to us to make us great. It doesn't end there. Verse 36 continues. That's the last verse of our text. He broadened the path before me, or you broadened the path before me, so that my ankle does not turn. He makes our path smooth and broad. There's nothing there to stumble on. Our ankles won't twist. We won't twist our ankle if we follow God. The picturesque language is used. Because, God, you broaden my path. He equips us by that. Here comes to mind another common familiar passage of Scripture out of Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Remember God's way. God's plan is not according to our own understanding. It's just not. It's never been. We look through the Old Testament and see it's not. It hadn't worked out that way. God's people thought they were secure in their amazing grace, that God would never, they would never forsake them, regardless of what they did. But after they had slapped God literally in the face, after they had prostituted themselves, the prophet says, after they had prostituted themselves in the sight of God, God finally said, enough. And he punished them. Lean not to our own understanding, but instead in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Boy, isn't that what is said here in verse 36? You broaden the path beneath me so that my ankles do not turn. Trust in him. Turn to him. Do not turn away from his way. Trust and acknowledge him. So as I mentioned earlier in conclusion, Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, and if you like, I would ask you to turn there now. Ephesians chapter 6, going to read that text and leave that with us this morning as we leave. Because of who he is, because of who God is, and because of what he does, to enable us, we can stand. In Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10 through verse 18, spell it out very plainly, very nicely, that enablement, that equipping that we have available from God. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Not our power, but in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that when you take your stand against the devil's schemes, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the whole armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Notice that? Truth. The belt of truth. Excuse me just a moment. The belt of truth is very important. And you know where we find truth. It's in this book right here. You certainly don't find truth from either political party that we live with today. or from any other place, for that matter, you find the truth right here. The belt of truth buckled around us. Your waist with the breastplate of righteousness in place. The breastplate of righteousness. Remember where our righteousness comes from? Our righteousness comes from God. The righteousness from God which comes through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. That is our breastplate. That is our protection against our vital organs, our heart, and others that lie beneath, below the breastplate. The breastplate of righteousness, the righteousness from God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Savior. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Let us always remember that we tell the gospel of peace, not the gospel of hate. A lot of hate in our country right now from both sides. A lot of hate and discontent. But we Christian people, we have a gospel of peace. And our feet are fitted with that. As we go with our feet one step in front of the other, or one step behind the other, with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. That we're always ready to tell that gospel of Christ, gospel of peace. We're coming into the Christmas season where Christ was born and announced his birth as being the Prince of Peace. In addition to all of that, take on the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Mentioned that on several occasions already through the message. And then take the helmet of salvation, which is a sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Holy Spirit that we receive at the moment of our salvation. He is our sword, and that sword is identified as the Word of God, that we always take the Word of God with us as our sword of defense. Verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. God's people today are called into prayer, into a season of prayer. With this in mind, be alert. Yeah, be alert, because the enemy lurks at every turn. Always keep on praying for all saints, for one another. And the Apostle Paul says, especially pray for me, that when I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mysteries of the gospel of Christ, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. I hope that is our prayer this morning. But let us never forget our awesome God, and that our God enables us as we march forward step by step in accordance with his will, which is to demonstrate his glory and his power through us, his people. We will never be defeated, never be overcome. Look at places like Cuba, Venezuela. Venezuela was overcome by socialism and communism, with a complete takeover of that country. And they suffer greatly today because of it. But the church has never been stronger. That takeover was like throwing water on a grease fire. That grease of the gospel of peace splattered so that almost in every barrio and every community throughout Venezuela, there is an active body of Christ, not identifiable by a sign, First Baptist Church or any other church, but very much a living, breathing body of Christ, taking the gospel of peace to the people in that community. We cannot be defeated. because of our Lord, because of our God who is Lord, and because of our Lord who is God. Amen. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the truths of your word. We thank you that King David was in tune with the Holy Spirit and obedient to him to write these verses. And we thank you for the Apostle Paul that was equally in tune with your Spirit and was obedient to your Holy Spirit as he inspired him to write Ephesians chapter 6. In putting all of this together, we draw great strength and encouragement. As we face uncertain days ahead, we can certainly draw certainty from your word, and we know that's why you gave it to us to begin with. It's just that we take it for granted from time to time. But let us always remember, when the chips are down, and when the rubber meets the road, here it is, very clearly presented before us. Help us to personalize it, make it real and functioning in our lives, each one. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please stand as we sing a hymn of invitation. I would invite you this morning to come and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you never have before, it would be a good time to do that today. Whatever our need might be, as we sing this hymn of invitation, let us make a commitment directly with our God and Lord. What's our hymn, John?
504.
Which is?
Without Him.
There you go. And exactly where we are today.
Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know Him today? Do not turn Him away. Oh Jesus, oh Jesus. Strong.